Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Let's begin.
This is The Boss.
I'm the boss.
And the gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gal and Carla Dawson.
I got that. In my pocket.
Welcome in, everyone. It is Monday night, and all things are right. I'm sitting next to the Monday Night Delight, Carla Dawson. I've got Jose behind the board, and the last time I saw you two was
we were at the beach.
Well, we were down in Miami for Radio Row, and there was that dinner where there were flame-throwing women and kinds of exotic dancing poolside. Jose was paying close attention. You both recovered and survived, right?
Survived, yes. Recovered, I'm not sure yet.
Well, welcome home.
The women were not coming at my end of the table. I'm just going to be clear about that. You two could be in harm's way.
Well, Jose, he's a chick magnet.
He is a chick magnet. I can't blame them.
Well done, Jose.
It's a curse.
So we survived Ready Row, and then that game Sunday was a real thriller. Really exciting and fun to watch. I noticed tonight, I guess because you love Andy Reid, you came in eating a double meat cheeseburger with extra cheese, Carla.
So cool to out me, boss. Really?
Well, I just feels like...
I do notice there's a Krispy Kreme hat right behind you, so you can explain that one.
Your whole outfit seems tighter after having watched you eat that big meat cheeseburger.
Can we start this over? And maybe, will you step in for the boss? I'm going to put him behind the glass.
I don't know if I can feel those shoes.
Oh, let me tell you.
Jose might just be able to. Do not sell the man short. But this is a fun night. We get to dissect what took place. Oh, the decision-making of Kyle Shanahan in the fourth quarter. Certainly worth second-guessing.
I want to talk about who's your MVP?
The MVP debate. You want
the real MVP stand-up.
Oh, yes. Why is Jose standing up over there in the studio? No, it was not Jose Partida. It was... You want to go with Damian Williams, don't you? Well, we'll leave that for when we come back. Who do you really believe deserves the MVP? I will say that some were calling even for Honey Badger, the defensive standout for the Chiefs, because he rallied that defense, and the Chiefs' defense had to make some key stops there in the fourth quarter.
And even Chris Jones got a few mentions.
All right, well, we will dissect the MVP decision, the Kyle Shanahan decisions.
I got to finish my double cheeseburger.
Oh, yeah, well, you need a break here. There looks like a few more bites left. Delicious. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss, SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's David Gal and Carla Dawson.
Mahomes takes the snap. He is just going to throw it long for DeMarcus Robinson. It is going to use up all the time. The game is over. The Kansas City Chiefs are champions of Super Bowl 54. Final score, Kansas City 31, San Francisco 20. In Chiefs Kingdom, get ready to welcome your champions.
An amazing finish. Chiefs rally late. And it is fun to look back. We made our predictions late Friday from Radio Row.
Oh, here it comes. Someone's head is getting big.
And I do think it's worth recalling. Jose, you'll have to vouch for me on this. But I predicted the score 34-20. As it turned out, it was 31-20. But that's pretty close. And in fact, I remember...
And you had the Chiefs.
Well, yeah, I said Chiefs would win it 34-20. Now, when it was when there were 7 minutes left in the game, I was all but done. I thought, well, there's no way. I thought the 49ers...
I was sitting pretty at that point.
...had this game. You had predicted the 49ers. You thought they were going to come out on top. And, boy, it looked that way. What a turn of events. And you do have to go back to the 49ers' offensive execution because Shanahan really did shift gears. It's so interesting to contrast his decision-making at the end of the first half when he was unwilling to let Garoppolo really throw the ball and take over the game. And then yet, at the end of the fourth quarter, he really put the ball in Garoppolo's hands and said, throw me some first downs. Make this happen. He abandoned the run. And it looks a lot like what he did in the Falcons game against the Patriots in the Super Bowl, 28-3.
Yeah, in Super Bowl 51... they had a 28-3 lead in the third quarter, ended up going into overtime and losing to New England. This, to me, is Shanahan's Super Bowl 51 2.0. This is you had a 10-point lead with 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And you get outscored 21-0 with the number two defense in the NFL. How does that even happen?
Well, I think part of it happens is that defense got very tired because they've been on the field.
They went on a no huddle, the Chiefs did.
And the 49ers offense wasn't running sustained drives there late second half. They weren't running the ball. And so, yeah, the 49ers defense was on the field and vulnerable and worn out.
Well, in the last 10 minutes of the game, only two run plays were called.
Yeah.
I think one word can describe Shanahan's Super Bowl 51 as OC of the Falcons, and now as head coach of the 49ers in Super Bowl 54, fear. He was operating out of fear, meaning he didn't trust the plan that got him to the Super Bowl both times, and he didn't trust it. He didn't trust in his plan. He changed it up. I don't understand it.
He was so resolute and steadfast to the plan against the Packers in the NFC Championship game.
I was just going to bring up, exactly. And really got chided for, you don't trust your quarterback. He only had eight passes called and only two in the second half of the game. Well, yeah, because Mostert had 220 yards on the ground. You didn't need anything more. Stick with what you know. He didn't. He was afraid. He did not stick to his game plan. He operated out of fear, and it cost him a Super Bowl again.
So there was an interesting article, I think it was in USA Today.
He abandoned it.
And the debate was, does Shanahan's play calling deserve the blame, or does Jimmy G's lack of execution deserve the blame? And the argument for Jimmy G deserving the blame was that some of those plays were there for the taking, and Jimmy G didn't execute it. Obviously, the deep pass to Emmanuel Sanders would have been an amazing play and pass, and probably the game. There was another one, a shorter one, when he could have hit Kittle, but he went outside and fell incomplete. There are questions about Jimmy G's execution. But the thing is, the issue you got to confront is that Shanahan hadn't asked Jimmy G to execute like that in the playoffs. And certainly not in that game, and certainly not earlier in the first half. So why then? Why did he suddenly say, now I'm going to put the ball in Jimmy G's hands? He called the plays.
He didn't set him up for success.
No, in fact, at that point, he should have just kept the ball running on the ground, and they've been so successful running it. I mean, it wasn't the last drive, but it was a critical drive when the 49ers were finally behind by 4 points, and with about 2.5 minutes to play, all their timeouts, they could have run the full suite of plays in their playbook. They didn't really need to worry about the clock. And they began that drive with a Mozart run of about 16, 17 yards
right
in the game.
It's beautiful.
Why not keep running it?
Fear. That's what I'm telling you. And this is the advice I would give to Kyle Shanahan, which I'm sure he's really fired up to get advice from me. But I would tell him, if you're going to lose the game, do it by doing what you do best. Running the football got you there. Don't abandon that plan in the biggest game of your life. If you're going to lose it, go down swinging with your strength. And I don't think they would have lost it at that point. Now, your point about Jimmy G. So we're putting a lot of blame on Kyle Shanahan. We are. I don't think the blame on Jimmy G is fair. And I'll tell you why. The better quarterback for 3 2/3 quarter was Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, statistically, and with the points on the board.
Absolutely. And honestly, Patrick Mahomes did not have a great game. Did he have a great performance? Sure, he turned it on in the fourth quarter, and he's a leader on and off the field and all of that. But you cannot fault Jimmy G for this, Because what you said earlier, which he wasn't called on to do any of this, and he made some really amazing throws in the beginning. He really thread the needle a couple times. But he was really, for the vast majority of the game, he was the better quarterback on the field.
Kyle Shanahan's going to have trouble sleeping for a couple of nights.
Yes, he is. I mean, honestly, here's a really scary stat from the two Super Bowls for Kyle Shanahan. So taking the fourth quarter of Super Bowl 51, the loss to the Patriots, and the fourth quarter of yesterday's Super Bowl loss to the Chiefs, Kyle Shanahan's teams are outscored 40-0.
Ouch.
Now, if we add the overtime that Super Bowl 50 went into, then we're looking at 46-0.
Right.
That is a staggering stat. So I would say the majority of the blame goes on Shanahan. Yes, I do. And that stat just, I can't ignore it. Now, if there were a few things that went differently, there was an offsides call with about 9 minutes to go. Kansas City was offsides. It was clear. It was never called. That would have been a full reset for San Francisco. That could be a game differential too. And that running touchdown late in the fourth quarter.
Damien Williams score.
His foot was out of bounds before that went over the edge. And several media heads said that today wasn't called. What are you going to do?
Yeah, that would have set up a short fourth down. Chiefs probably would have gone for it, but then who knows what happens
that
fourth down play.
That's right.
They could have had a penalty to take it back to fourth and five, fourth and goal at that point. Very interesting to watch. Well, we'll just see how Shanahan and the 49ers recover from this. One of the things I was noting is just the label of being the genius. I mean, last year, Sean McVay was the boy genius. He was the boy genius.
No kidding.
And everybody was looking for the next Sean McVay. And then he had the big fall last year when Belichick schooled him in the Super Bowl. This year, of course, it's Shanahan, and I don't know that he got schooled. I mean, it was a very good competitive game.
Right.
But he did not execute down the stretch. I think his play calling is very much open to second guessing. And so, yes, he's humbled here. Boy genius, not this week, at the very least.
Right. Right. No, I agree. And I don't think it was the exact comparison of getting schooled, because he didn't. It was he coached a brilliant game until the fourth quarter. About midway through the fourth quarter.
Well, one of the interesting things is there will be a whole bunch of conversation that this 49ers team is young.
It's young.
Most of the talent's under contract. And so there's this optimism that, well, they can come back. They'll be back. They're going to be contenders for years to come. But when you look at the Rams and you see how fragile things are, the vulnerability to injuries, the team chemistry, defenses figuring out how your offense is run, defenses figuring out maybe how to defend against the Jared Goff. There's just so many things that go together to be a winning team. And there's no assurance that the 49ers will be back in this spot next year.
No,
all that talent notwithstanding.
That.
It is so hard. And you've got to work hard and get a lot of luck, too. Things just
Absolutely.
Have to fall into place.
Absolutely. The stars need to align no matter how much talent you have, top to bottom. Your Dallas Cowboys are a prime example. If I looked at that roster, I would say there's no way they're not going to the playoffs, deep into the playoffs.
Yep.
They've got
particularly
it
out of the NFC East of all places.
Well, right, exactly. Right. The Bills were not going to be my choice there. But, you know, I mean, you just don't know. You just absolutely don't know. And it is hard to get back. I will say, and I really want to credit Patrick Mahomes, because really most of this segment has been about how the 49ers blew it. Patrick Mahomes, talent cannot be denied. On top of it, leadership, that's incredible. Positivity, you know, able to rally the people around him. And he's very humble. I mean, his on-field interview after the game, you know, was not only crediting Andy Reid, but also saying, hey, lucky for me, I got drafted to this organization, and recognizing that, yeah, you got Andy Reid, you had Alex Smith. I mean, they had a 14-win season when he was there. You know, and he was
basically his rookie season. Alex Smith, right.
That doesn't happen.
Right.
And so he doesn't have to credit that, because he's done a lot with it, and what he has done is really amazing. But he really did, and I really appreciated that. I thought that's really cool, because most quarterbacks that go that high and in the first round are not in that type of situation. It's very unique.
No, I put his comments after the game well above defensive end Frank Clark's comments, who was really sort of nasty and beat up on Jimmy G after the game.
Well, he does beat up. That's kind of in his history. Don't get me started. Funny you should say that.
All right, when we come back, we'll look at who the MVP should be. We'll also look at the big play that turned the game, the 3rd and 15 from Mahomes to Hill. That up next here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Trust O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Go to O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Okay, to me, the big turning point was that 3rd and 15 because really, if the 49ers had stopped the Chiefs at that moment, I think the game would have been over. They would have had it in the bag. They could have run out the clock. And what was so special about that play, that 3rd and 15 that struck me so notably, was that Mahomes does break the rules. He breaks the traditional rules of a quarterback. What I perceive is that for most of the game, Mahomes would love to have thrown deep, but he didn't have the time to throw deep, and he didn't have time for the receivers to get deep. Yet on that play, he just drifted back. I mean, he must have backed up 12 to 15 yards off the line of scrimmage.
I think it was about 14 yards here. That's right.
It's sort of the deepest drop back of any quarterback I've ever seen in a big game like that, who's not just purely scrambling, but just dropping back, right? He went way back, 14 yards, so that then he had it allowed Tyreek Hill the time to run the full route and get the separation, and then he had to put the ball in the air for about 56 yards. In most offenses, you would never ask the quarterback to drop back that far because then it breaks up the pocket. You can't contain anything. And then, in many offenses, it would be hard for somebody to throw 56 yards once they backed up that far. A lot of quarterbacks can throw the ball that far, but he backed up that far. He put it up in the air. Hill had to wait on it. You noticed he waited a moment or two, made the catch, but that changed the game. The minute that ball was caught, I thought, yeah, the Chiefs might actually be able to get back into this game.
Well, and they did. You were exactly right. And you know, that was an absolutely amazing play, and yet another one by Patrick Mahomes. I just, to be perfectly honest, I have a really hard time reconciling the pure talent, the pure character and goodness of Mahomes and even Andy Reid, and the horribleness of Tyreek Hill.
The one who caught the ball, right.
The one who caught the ball. And to me, I just look at that and I'm like, wow, he is on the field winning a Super Bowl trophy right now and being instrumental in that process. And all I can hear in my head is the audio of that phone call to his then fiance. Mm. And I can't unring that bell. I can't unhear it. And that's just me.
Right.
I can't deny his talent. There's no doubt about it. And there's no doubt that he was a huge difference maker in getting the Chiefs here.
Well, but notably, in a country of a short attention span,
yep.
I don't think a lot of people were thinking that last night.
Especially Chiefs fans.
No, the Chiefs fans were all
about
in. It was just fine.
If you don't have a video, you are good.
Well, you know, most NFL fans, we hate all the bad guys unless they're on our team.
Right.
And then all of a sudden we love them,
unless
right?
Unless they're ballers.
Right. Then it all comes
together. If they're
ballers
and on our team, yes, exactly.
Yes.
So that was rough for me, but you're right. That was a key play, but that's when it really, I just realized, I don't know that I can watch the rest of this. This is tough.
Now, you're second-guessing who won the MVP.
I am.
You don't think Mahomes should have got it?
My gosh. Let me just ask one simple question, and I really am asking you for your honest answer because you're way more football savvy than me. If I told you that the Super Bowl MVP quarterback threw 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions... would you say, that's my MVP?
That's not the prototype. No, I would not.
I didn't like his stat line.
Right.
It was not a good game for Mahomes. I mean, you look at this. He was 26 of 42, 286 yards, 2 TDs, 2 interceptions, and a rushing TD. I just have a real problem with thinking that those are MVP numbers.
Well, there are two different arguments here. One is, did he play a game worthy of the MVP award? The other is, was there somebody else more worthy? Mm-hmm. I'm okay that he got the award. Yes, his stat lines weren't that impressive.
He doesn't throw 2 interceptions ever.
But he rallied them in a way. He made some exceptional plays, both with his feet and with his arm. It wasn't his best game. He was playing a very good defense that has made a lot of quarterbacks look pretty modest, right? Mm-hmm. But true. your other argument is Damian Williams deserved it, right? I mean, he had great stats.
Gosh.
And his numbers do look like a Super Bowl MVP.
I mean, he set records all over that Super Bowl yesterday. You know, and he was an undrafted guy. He's kind of like the Raheem Mostert of the Chiefs.
Yep.
And for two reasons, he should get the MVP. One, his numbers. You know, he had 17 carries for 104 yards, so 100-plus yards rushing. Four catches for almost 30 yards. Scored a rushing and a receiving touchdown. So he's the first player to accomplish that in a Super Bowl, to have over 100 yards and have a rushing and a receiving touchdown. And he was the difference maker to me. The second reason I would give him that, the minute that game was over, you know, pandemonium, confetti comes down. Do you know where he was?
Where?
He was in the tunnel finding Raheem Mostert.
Oh, yeah.
Before he even took the field to celebrate.
Yep.
A very heartfelt conversation. You know, this is the opposing running back. Both of them were undrafted.
Yep.
Both of them have not been stars in the NFL.
Worked their way up from the bottom.
And he just really, they embraced, they exchanged jerseys. I mean, to be the star, basically record-setting guy on the field, because he was the only record-setting guy for the Chiefs, really, on that field, and to delay your celebration of complete nirvana that you deserve, to go chase down and make sure that you had that moment with someone who you respect at the same position, to me, give it to him all day long.
All right, I hear you.
He backs it up with numbers, too, so it's not just my sentimental favorite. But we both also came from, as well as Jose, almost a week at Radio Row. And would you all agree with me or not? And I want to know if not, too. Patrick Mahomes was crowned the MVP about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, gosh. I remember Radio Row watching one of the major TV shows, sports shows. They were debating if Mahomes wins the Super Bowl this week and then were to retire, would he already be a Hall of Fame guy?
Exactly. I mean, that is
really,
the narrative.
That was the discussion. Yes, you might argue that there was almost no way, after all the hype of Patrick Mahomes before the game, that as long as the Chiefs win, he's going to get that mantle of the MVP. Yeah, it was pretty well set up.
Jose, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it felt like a foregone conclusion. No matter, so long as the Chiefs won, and it wasn't something drastic like Tyrann Mathieu gets two interceptions, one of them is a pick six, something like that, drastic like that, it was going to be Patrick Mahomes. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, people media-driven. I mean, he's great. He's great. He's great. But he has been deemed the MVP.
Well, or at least say, yes, he's great. And the media has certainly noticed his greatness or painted a big picture of it, no doubt. Now, the Honey Badger got a lot of love for rallying his team, his defense. And I don't remember really seeing him all over the field. It wasn't like
he
got.
You should have seen him on
the sideline. On the sideline, he was a very vocal leader for that defense.
And that's what you pay him for. I mean, he is great on the field as well, but he's your general, your sideline general as well as your field general. And he can, I mean, he was impassioned when he was screaming at the guys.
Yeah.
And it worked.
He certainly didn't have stats or a case to be MVP, but certainly he has been a leader on that defense.
An emotional MVP.
And by all accounts, ever since he arrived, there was an attitude in that Kansas City defense. Now, the other candidate for MVP that nobody has really talked about except for Jose. We've had, well, some said Mahomes, Damian Williams, Honey Badger, a little bit of outlier. Jose said the MVP last night was Shakira. And it's just a little odd, but she was lovely.
She was. I thought she outshone J-Lo while we're on the subject.
I did, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. I mean, that woman can dance. The hip movement. I mean, we all know this, Jose. When you play intro and exit music during our show, right? The little intro music you play, the buffer music coming in, often Carla dances. Does she not?
All the time. It's my goal to get her to dance.
And it's fantastic.
I got to channel my inner Shakira now. I don't know if I have it.
I thought she was a really good dancer.
I am.
Until I saw Shakira.
Well, yeah. I got to give it to her. Wow.
Wow is right.
I did tell David I signed up for 4 hip hop classes this week.
After you saw the halftime performance?
She's redoubled her commitment. There's still hope.
Yeah, there's hope for me. I'm going to try.
Well, on the other side of it, J-Lo was impressive. She's 50 years old. I mean, my thought was, well, she's 50. I guess A-Rod must be about 43 or 44. Does that qualify as a Cougar situation? I mean, Jose, you're the expert. You're the expert on Cougars. What do you think?
I don't think it qualifies, no.
Yeah, I mean, when you're involved in your Cougar relationships, there's usually more separation in age.
Yeah, I say maybe about 20 years.
20 years, okay.
Yeah, that feels more Cougar territory.
Go, Jose!
It's nice to know from the real expert. We've got a resident cub. Is that what they call him? On our show.
A cubby.
We're going to visit with Will Shields. He is a Hall of Fame offensive lineman from the Kansas City Chiefs. He's in Kansas. He's coming up next. We'll ask him what the mayhem is like in Kansas City. Will Shields next here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, joining us now is Will Shields. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a former Kansas City Chief. Welcome to the show, Will. You're on with David and Carla. Let me first start it by saying, does it feel like you're now the center of the universe there in Kansas City?
Well, you know, it's a good problem to have. You know, it's one of those things where everyone here is buzzing, everybody's wearing red, so... You know, it's a good place to be since, you know, red is my power color also, so it makes
me Well, it's just amazing. I mean, 50 years, and when you look around the league and you know everybody who has an appreciation for some team that has struggled forever and ever and ever, well, the Chiefs, 50 years, you did it yesterday, you did it with Andy Reid. Tell us about Andy Reid. What are your reflections on his success?
Well, you know, Andy is one of those guys that you've always cheered for. Even when he was in the color green, you wanted him to do well. But bringing him to Kansas City was one of the best decisions that they've made. And it was really cool because of how he carries himself and what he does as a individual on and off the field as far as what his personality is and everything else. You know, I actually sat with him on a bus, and he sat and talked to me for about, you know, 45 minutes on a bus. And I'm a guy that's on the opposite team that's playing against his team at that point, you know, at the game that we're playing in. But he's one of those guys that's genuine, and I couldn't be more happy for a guy to get a Super Bowl win, but also for him to do it here in Kansas City.
Well, Will, this is Carla. I'm glad to have you on the show. I'm just impressed with you. I don't think I've ever read or talked to someone who's a 12-time Pro Bowler like you are. That's quite a feat. I'm not going to lie there. But regarding Andy Reid, keeping on that, how important do you think it was for him to get this Super Bowl for his legacy? Or do you think his legacy would still be great based on what you just told us?
Well, I think his legacy is great because of all the things that he's done for, you know, the players, the coaches that he's helped, the tutelage and everything else. But I think it also helps the icing on the cake for him to get a Super Bowl win. You know, you've seen his proteges go in and win a Super Bowl here and there. So it's only his turn to get a chance for him to go through and do it. But I think that's what makes him such a great guy. He's just as happy for the guys that's been underneath or around him to go out and get something positive to happen for them as he is if it's him. So, you know, that's what kind of person he is. So for him to be that guy to get a chance to go out and get his due for what all the things that he's put together and done, you know, it's gratifying. It's gratifying to see.
And, Will, what do you think this championship means to the city of Kansas City, those rabid fans that fill Arrowhead Stadium week after week? What does this mean to them?
It's awesome. I mean, they love the Chiefs. They love the team. They love it. It's basically, you know, everyone's connected here as far as to the teams. I mean, we don't have a basketball team. We do have a soccer team. We do have a baseball team. So, you know, it's different sport time, different things. But the Chiefs have been a staple here in the city. And for them to be able to bring a championship home, that's the greatest thing, you know, that you can ever do. I mean, there's only that one champion every year. And for a long time, you've always had the same similar teams going back and forth for it that have their lineage for doing that. But to be able to sort of sneak in there and get one, pretty good. It's been sort of set the standard since you played in championships one year, win the Super Bowl the next year, and know that you still have an opportunity to have all the pieces still together for another run for the next couple of years.
We're talking to Will Shields. He played for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's a Hall of Famer. I want to ask you, you played offensive line, and coming into the game, there was a whole lot of hype about the San Francisco defensive front. And the Kansas City offensive line did open up holes. I mean, the team ran the ball pretty well. The Chiefs ran the ball well. Mahomes was under some pressure during the course of the game. How would you evaluate the Kansas City offensive line in this game?
You know, it's hard to go back and try to nitpick everything because they just won the Super Bowl. But yeah. You know, but you knew that was going to happen. There was going to be some pressure here. There were some different things. And, you know, I think they did a pretty good job of managing the best they could. But some of that, you know, as having Mahomes back there, the quarterback, he's going to drift. He's going to move. He's going to help you out in some time. And other times you're like, oh, no, don't run this way. Run that way. But, you know, that's part of the process. But they did do a good job of staying consistent with the run. Giving it an opportunity and picking smart, you know, pretty good smart choices of making things that were going up, you know, down the field, keeping the defense, you know, sort of on their heels a little bit. And that's what made a big difference.
Were you happy with the MVP choice? You have a pretty good running back who was pretty entitled to it as well.
You know, I'm sort of biased between both. I think the running back did a great job. And, you know, he's that guy that I thought, you know, should have got his nod and his due. But, you know, I'm not the voter. I'm not the one that gets to give out the award. I think if you go through the whole lineage of the playoffs, you know, Mahomes had an unbelievable run in the playoffs. And so, you know, his resume is sort of stacked up between three games and one game. So it just depends on how you look at it. But I know that he's been consistent all year long, and that's the one that everyone looks to make things happen.
Well, you bring up a good point. And stat-wise, yesterday in the game, it was pretty even on both sides for the majority of the game. Do you think the difference in the game, which was clearly the fourth quarter, was that the greatness of Mahomes, who had 150 yards and two touchdowns when the game was on the line, or was it a San Francisco defense that was exhausted, that gave up 21 points, or a combo of both?
Well, you know, I think it's a combo of both. The defense, look, the first quarter, you got to realize there wasn't a lot of drives where the Chiefs had positive drives where they were just, okay, we're going to hammer. Where in the third or fourth quarter, they sort of settled in, got an opportunity, and made, you know, good decisions all across the board to make it happen. And I just think that the defense itself sort of wore out a little bit. But also the transition of changing and understanding what they were trying to do to you makes a big difference, too, in the fourth quarter. And I think, you know, Mahomes sort of settled in a little bit going into that fourth quarter. And they took it on their shoulders and did a great job. And the defense did an unbelievable job when you got a chance to get after Garoppolo and make it a little difficult in the pocket and things of that nature. And, you know, to me, it was a full team win, even though, yeah, 24-0, but the 21-0 in the fourth. But you got to realize the defense had to do their job to get the ball back in the offensive hands.
Yeah, Chris Jones with a couple of those big blocks. I mean, they were coming from all over the place. It's amazing.
Yeah, I thought he was going to snatch one out of the air sooner or later. I mean, he kept getting those balls on him, that's for sure.
We're talking to Will Shields. He's a former Kansas City Chief and Walter Payton Man of the Year. Let me ask you this right now. A lot of folks are using these words. The next dynasty will be the Kansas City Chiefs. How does that sound to you? How does it make you feel?
Well, I think any time you can use the word dynasty, it would be great. But to make a dynasty, you've got to win the game, become the dynasty first. You can't sort of deem yourself, I'm the next group to be the next dynasty team, because we don't know what that next year holds, or next three, four, five, or six. And what does a dynasty mean? Does a dynasty mean you win three championships or four championships, or is it just a dynasty getting to the championship game every year? You know, that's sort of where you go at, and you say, okay, dynasty, let's say it's three. You know, how many dynasty organizations do you know that have three or more Super Bowls that they've went and won, not necessarily just played in? So I think it'd be great to have that. I agree. I think it's even better to have that mindset, that you become a dynasty because you create that mindset that, hey, this is what is expected of us year in and year out.
Well, your entire NFL career in Kansas City, you did not miss a game in 14 seasons. This is a violent sport. How were you able to secure that kind of longevity?
Well, you know, there's a couple of different things. I had a great staff around me that helped, you know, super glue me back together even when I didn't think I could go. But also, you know, it was the guys I was around. I didn't want to let them down and not be a part of the team and not be a part of the game. And it became that addiction of, hey, I want to be there and be available. And, you know, that's one thing, that's the big key for the NFL or anything that you do is being available week in and week out, even though you might have some nicks and bruises and things like that. And there were some weeks you're going, yeah, I don't think I'm going today or I shouldn't go today. And they're going, yeah, well, let's put some super glue on it. Let's just put some extra tape on it and get you out there. You know, hobbling, you know, might be just as good as what we need to get it done. But, you know, it is one of those, you know, after a while it becomes that badge of honor of saying, you know, I just said, man, I played 14 years. And I got 14, you know, opportunities to play in every game I could have possibly played in and try to do the best you can do in each one of those. And it's sort of one of those cool stats.
It's beyond impressive, really.
I want to ask you, we got time for two more questions. Patrick Mahomes, whom does he most remind you of? Another quarterback that makes you think of Patrick?
It's a combination of different things. I think, you know, he reminds me of Brett Favre and how he loved the game and how he liked to play. You know, Randall Cunningham a little bit of how he controls the field. Even a little bit of Wilson, of how he controls the huddle and understands where he wants to go with the ball and how to tell his guys, look, I can tell you what I need to happen and you can do it. Those are guys that I think that he sort of does a well job with and emulate. A combination of those guys, and plus being in the era of this kind of style of football, fits him to a T where, you know, he's got a bunch of fine weapons to get the ball to. So hopefully he just gets it close to them and they'll make it happen.
Let's close by, tell us about the Midwest Innocent Project. This is a project you're working on, right?
Yeah, we actually work with the Midwest Innocent Project here in Kansas City. It's actually the hub for, you know, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Iowa. And we help with the cases of people that are being falsely accused or what we call exonerated. Mm. And help them find ways to understand that, you know, hey, if it comes back and says, hey, they didn't do the crime, they need to be set free. And so what we're doing is helping them with fundraising and different things like that. So we're being the co-chair for an event, you know, April 22nd here in Kansas City that'll sort of help all the different groups and stuff. But it's going to be a great event. And basically the knowledge base of understanding of how the justice system works is part of the understanding of how it should work and how everything fits. And don't get me wrong, when it happens, it's not everything is on purpose. It's just sometimes you look at things a specific way, and then when you get more knowledgeable on everything that was in the play, it sort of steers you in a different way that it shouldn't have been. And it makes sense across the board sometimes, and sometimes it just doesn't. But the simple fact of it is we're trying to help people get back out, get back on their feet when they're actually, you know, committed of a crime that they didn't commit.
Sounds like grand work. Will Shields, thank you so much for joining us here on SB Nation Radio.
No problem. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Ladies up in here tonight. No fighting.
We got the refugees.
No fighting. No fighting. Shakira, Shakira.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, great to speak with him. He is a stud. I mean, look at
him. I won't do my Shakira shaking for you all, even though I'm feeling it, not going to do it.
You were inspired by Shakira at halftime, were you not?
I was so inspired. Yeah.
I'll tell you, I was in a room with a bunch of guys, and their heads were nodding up and down. I mean, they were moving. And
I'm sure they were.
It turned everybody's head.
Gosh. It was beyond impressive.
One of the best halftime shows you've seen at the Super Bowl? What do you guys think?
It's one of my favorites, and especially compared to poor Adam Levine last year. Man, not even close. What about you, Jose?
Yeah, that one was brutal, but Lady Gaga was really good 2 years ago. Katy Perry a couple years ago. Beyonce's done it twice, once with Bruno Mars. They were both good.
Yeah, that's true. Beyonce did it at the 50 Super Bowl out in Santa Clara.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga came down through NRG Stadium here in Houston. Yeah, with Bruno. Exactly. Yeah, I thought this one was just awesome. And, you know, when the poll came out for J-Lo, I was like, uh-oh, not safe for work right here. But she did it well.
Well, there are no polls at your hip-hop class, are there? No pole dancing?
No, of course not.
Oh, I'm just asking.
No.
Jose, you've at least wondered, haven't you?
I've wondered.
You two are coming with me. But I'm going to treat you to my hip-hop class. You're going to love it.
All right.
Get y'all some LeMay leggings. Here we go.
You know, the other thing that came out is that most of America wishes that Monday was the national holiday. I mean, the day after the Super Bowl, we all come dragging in. We've watched the big game. We were up late. We maybe had a few too many things to eat and drink. Maybe we even had a double meat cheeseburger with extra cheese like you did.
I saved that for today.
You saved that for today. Okay. So this should be I think Monday should be a national holiday. Put it this way. If you ask most Americans, would you rather have the day that honors the old presidents, the guys who have long gone Washington and Lincoln.
Old presidents.
Those guys from yesteryear. Would you rather have a President's Day or a Super Monday?
Oof, I don't like to break tradition.
Really?
Speaking with the president.
Jose, you go for Super Monday, don't you?
Yeah, give me Super Monday.
Well, give me Super Monday. You worked hard at Radio Row.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Give me Super Monday and Super Tuesday.
You want both.
Nice.
Yeah, look, he's looking me in the eye when he says that.
Yeah, he
is. The boss, have the power to give you both off, but I will not. Sorry, Jose.
Today. That is true. I was dragging today, but it's because my team didn't win, so that's
well,
part of it.
In this same article, the statistics are that most of America drags in. On average, people show up 15 minutes late, and most of them leave about 15 minutes early on this Super Monday. It's not a productive day. And
you had the cameras going today in the office.
Several of them, yes. Most of America also drinks about a cup and a half more coffee just to get through this particular day.
Well, that is just, that is fascinating and not surprising.
Not surprising. All right, we've had a great first hour talking all things Super Bowl, and we've got some more when we return. I do want to take a close.
We got some draft stuff coming up.
We got draft stuff. Next hour, we're going to get Lance Zierlein in. He knows everything about the draft. He has his first mock draft out. That will be next hour.
I love it.
We'll look forward to Lance Zierlein next hour, SB Nation Radio.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.